It is Stardate 69826.4. You're listening to the Prime Defective Podcast, and we are covering Star Trek The Next Generation, Season 1, Episode 5, Where No One Has Gone Before. Written by Diane Duane and Michael Reeves, and directed by Rob Bowman. And then I guess we're going to do some intro music. Thanks for checking in again with the Prime Defective Podcast. I am your host, Brian. On the other side of the microphone is Jared. Jolon True, Jared.
Jolon True, Brian. Also, happy Leroy Jenkins Day.
Leroy Jenkins!
This has nothing to do with Star Trek, but 11 years ago today, Leroy made his appearance.
So, Jared, you got any Star Trek news for us this week besides the Leroy Jenkins news?
Well, I mean, I thought that was all the news you needed to know, but if you need to know more, I do have a couple tidbits of information. I guess every few weeks we'll be getting a little more information on the new Star Trek show, which I'm sure we'll talk at length when that comes out next year. But CBS has confirmed that the show will be coming out weekly. And they have also confirmed you can only get it on CBS Access.
And I'm sure there will be commercials, even though you get to pay for CBS Access.
Wouldn't that be kind of the not the point of having an all-access paid service?
I don't know. Let me get back to you on that.
All right.
I have an all-access paid service that I pay for with Hulu Plus, but I still have commercials.
Now, I have the same as you, but I have no commercials.
Because you pay $3 extra a month.
Oh, ew.
You pay for Hulu Plus without commercials, right?
Maybe that's different because Hulu is drawing from a pool of different networks and different shows. Whereas, like, HBO doesn't run commercials. Netflix doesn't run commercials.
Yes, but HBO isn't commercial television. CBS is.
Well, I don't know. That's a tricky one because you're right. They are a network, but they are only offering this on here. So I would be surprised. That would really suck.
The reason I'm saying that there might still be commercials associated with it is because they're going by the weekly model instead of dropping it all at once. They are still trying to stay true to their cable or their commercial television roots.
Oh, bullshit. They're doing it so you have to pay. For at least 3 months. Yeah, at least 3 months worth
of
service.
Well, what's to stop you from just waiting 3 months and paying for it for a week and watching the whole thing?
Maybe they won't have them all on there. I don't know.
Assholes.
Because who's going to do that? This is America. We don't wait for shit.
Fuck America.
Yeah.
Yeah, America.
Let's see here. There's any other... they said that they had a lot of offers to go to Netflix, Amazon, Hulu. They were all very interested in it, but they feel that they... can do it better on their CBS Access. It's all bullshit.
Yeah, it's horseshit. It's so much horseshit.
I know. And, I mean, listen, I can't not be happy that there's a new Star Trek show coming out. Yes, I'm happy about that. Is it suck that I have to go through these hoops to get to it? Yes. I mean, any reasonable internet astronaut will know how to get around this bullshit. I don't know what you would call that. What do you call an internet person who's savvy in the internet?
An internaut?
Internaut? a webinaut?
A webinaut.
Anyway,
to navigate all the tubes.
Yeah. Especially Star Trek fans. I imagine the majority of them would know how to circumvent, I should say, CBS bullshit plan. But
in the Star Trek universe, there's no need to circumvent that because it doesn't exist. Everything is open and free for everyone.
That's true. There's no Google. We've learned that too.
Google.
There's data.
Yes. And the library computer.
Yeah. I also learned another little interesting tidbit about this show that's coming out. So as we all know, the show is taking place in the proper Star Trek timeline, as we know. Or I don't know. Is there a name for that? Prime timeline?
I would go with Prime.
Prime sounds good. Mm-hmm. The reason that CBS did this, because I was at least 95% sure they were going to go with the movie universe.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always feel that they never give the audience enough credit to figure out that there's, you know what I'm saying, two different things. Like,
it's because Abrams has a market cornered on lens flares and they can't get any for the new show.
You're not far off, my friend. CBS holds all the rights to merchandise old Star Trek, but none for the movies.
Ah.
So it had nothing to do with what the fans wanted. It all came back down to greenbacks again. Yeah. But it doesn't matter. I get what I want. You know what I'm saying? Don't care.
I do.
So there's that news. And also there has been a death in the Star Trek family.
Oh, no.
William Schallert?
Sure.
Schallert? S-C-H-A-L-L-E-R-T?
Schart?
There was some L's in there.
Okay. Schallert.
He died at 93. Why is he important? Well, guess what? He was in one of the most famous original series episodes ever, The Trouble with Tribbles. He later showed up in the episode of DS9 called Trials and Tribulations, but that was via archive footage from the when they mixed the two episodes together. And then he made another full-fledged guest star spot on DS9 on the episode called Sanctuary. Couldn't tell you who he played. But, man, does this guy have a list of credits to his name. He was in The Twilight Zone, the movie, Interspace, Quantum Leap, Melrose Place, Desperate Housewives, How I Met Your Mother, True Blood, Get Smart, Father Knows Best, The $6 Million Man, Dick Van Dyke Show. I mean, you name it, this guy was on it.
Well, since faithful listeners know that I have never watched all of the original series, and I also have not seen all of Deep Space Nine.
You've never even seen Trials and Tribulations.
I have seen pieces of it because you would not shut up about it when it came out.
Oh, it was awesome.
Right. So I've seen pieces of it. I know Tuvok is involved and there's, I don't know.
No, Tuvok's not in that episode.
Okay, so right. There's another episode where I don't know.
Tuvok does show up on Deep Space Nine, though.
Yeah, I know, but I thought that was the episode he was in.
No, he's in a mirror episode, a mirror universe episode.
Oh, see, that's why maybe I was confusing it.
Yeah,
because I knew there was some kind of like alternate timeline or time travel or some horse shit involved.
In every series,
right? But I mean, to get Tuvok involved,
right?
That's what I was getting at.
One last note: he was also Patty Duke's father.
Sure, he was.
So you shall be missed, sir.
Totally.
Yeah. Brian, we'll never see the episodes you were in.
Someday, let's see. 22 episodes a year, 2 seasons a year of podcasting, carry the 1, probably in 6 years, maybe.
Yeah, because, well, if you're talking about Trials and Tribulations, I believe that is season 5 of DS9.
Oh, so it's 8 years.
Yeah.
See you in 8 years.
William Schallert.
I'll be dead by then.
Schallert. Well, just think, you'll only have to put 1 kid to bed by then.
Yeah, the other one will be in college. Oh, my God. Quick, let's end this. Let's go. I got to get this one in the can so we can start on the next one.
All right, take us there.
All right, so I hope you all watched along with us while we watched Season 1, Episode 5 of The Next Generation, titled Where No One Has Gone Before. Or, as I like to call it, the man in the striped pajamas.
Ugh. So, right off the bat, before we get into the particulars, on a whole, what was your thought of this episode?
Oh, it's boring as fuck.
Really?
There is some decent things in there. Like, it's exciting in the way of, like, what happens in the episode, like the MacGuffin of the whole thing, but it's the overall episode, I was just like, oh, I'm bored.
I have to say I liked almost everything about the episode. I didn't care for the parts where, like, the mind-bendy shit happened. We'll get to that part when all that shit happened. Like, I liked the whole traveling to different galaxies and all that stuff like that, and the reason behind it. I just hated the fucking Traveler.
You like traveling to the Dandelion Galaxy?
I was hoping that Worf was going to try to shoot some of those balls of benign light. But I was denied that. But yeah, like, if it wasn't for him, like, it was the scenes with him that just bored me to no end. Like, them,
he's
like,
throughout the entire episode.
Yeah, not really. There's a lot of talking about him when he's not around. Mm. You know? I mean, he spends a good portion of the thing just on his, like, back, unconscious.
He's like fucking Tinkerbell. He only exists because of happy thoughts.
Well,
I'm getting ahead of myself.
Oh, my God. You're right. I didn't put that connection together.
So this episode to me is boring. I really was just struggling to watch it. I'll give a quick recap. Starts off, they're going to do some warp testing. A dude named Kaczynski comes over from another starship, and his assistant named Kaczynski's assistant.
Glipglop or something. They do name him at some point.
He's just known as Kaczynski's assistant.
Swear to God, they name him for one brief second. They're like, Galaxicon.
No, they don't name him.
I have to rewatch the episode, I swear.
They don't name him.
That's right, because he makes a point of saying his name's unpronounceable.
Right. They ask, what are you? He's like, I'm Kaczynski's assistant. I can't tell you my name because it's not pronounceable by humans.
My mind must have been wandering, and I just made up a name for him.
Glip-glop.
Glip-glop.
So, Glip-glop.
But those fucking hands, his name should be Glip-glop.
So they show up, and Kaczynski is balls out 100% arrogant fuck. He's like,
oh, yeah, total dick.
I know what I'm doing. You guys don't understand it. Your primitive brains can't understand my
your awesome, monkey brains.
Yeah. Can't understand my awesome ways of working the warp engines. Meanwhile, everyone else who looks at his stuff is like, it's horseshit. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So, they get the numbers previously. They punch them into the computer and none of it. It's all gibberish to them.
Yeah. And so they perform a test and lo and behold, they shoot 2.7 million light years across the galaxy through two other galaxies and into a new one. And then when trying to fix that, they shoot to some dandelion galaxy.
It's the edge of the universe, they said.
Yes.
Which I was surprised that they did not see cowboy versions of themselves there.
Man, that's a callback. Get that reference.
You should get that reference because I referenced it on another podcast that we do, and you didn't get it then, and I had to explain it.
Cowboy versions of themselves. Damn it! No, it's not. No, no, I don't remember the reference.
Okay. Do you want to know? Or
yes,
just
now
let
you
sit?
Have to.
Oh, it's Futurama.
I absolutely would never have gotten it.
Okay, I'm extremely disappointed.
I've watched all of Futurama once, like just once through.
Oh.
Maybe. And I know I've missed a few episodes. So anyway, along the way, somehow Wesley gets involved and there's like a Nambla relationship between Glip-Glop and Wesley.
When we get to this, I don't know how we're going to do this, but there is definitely a scene where I thought two of them were going to fucking kiss.
You mean, wait. I'm trying to do this like quick summary of what happens in the episode.
All right, yeah, so I'll stop.
It's nearly impossible because there's so many things along the way. They question – this dude falls into a coma because it honestly isn't Kaczynski who is in control of anything. It's it's his assistant, which we find out is a traveler. So in Star Trek lexicon, he is the traveler. He has some kind of way of manipulating propulsion and has the ways of knowing these things that he can make people travel far distances and do things. So he's been hitchhiking starships so he can explore the universe and making people think that it was actually Kaczynski who.
Yes, using Kaczynski as a beard.
Right, as a beard, as a space beard.
Yeah.
And
so he lets Kaczynski just punch in like an idiot would on a keyboard. Just random things, and he does all the work in the background, and right. Nobody notices.
Except for Wesley. Wesley sees that the Traveler, when trying to do these things during these tests, the Traveler is basically fading in and out of existence because he's exerting his will and his special timey-wimey powers, I don't know, to make the ship go fast.
Right.
So Picard has a heart-to-heart with the Traveler and is like, yo, man, we need you to get us back. The Traveler's like, I'm so weak, I don't know if I can, but I'll figure it out. Oh, and by the way, Wesley is like some kind of wunderkind. Keep an eye on him. He really understands this space-time thought thing.
Yeah.
And, oh, I also need positive thoughts to help me do my nick-a-nick-a-do on the ship. So make sure all the crew has positive thoughts towards me. I didn't even get to the part where the galaxy they landed in makes their thoughts come to life. which we'll get to that later.
Yeah, that's the edge of the universe place, and that's where the show goes real trippy.
Yeah. So they all push their positive thoughts towards the Traveler like you would to make Tinkerbell fly. And he,
Picard makes a general announcement to order them to do this.
Yes. Yes, you must. It is an order to provide your positive thoughts towards the person on our starship known as the Traveler, who 99% of the starship didn't even know this dude was on the ship.
Yeah.
But he's able to get them back home super fast, but he fades out of existence along the way. And to repay Wesley for the help that he gave along the way, they make him an acting ensign.
For basically holding the Traveler's hand.
Mm-hmm. And also recognizing that it was the Traveler that was making the ship go fast and not Kaczynski. Kaczynski out. So,
and that is the origin of acting ensign Wesley Crusher.
Yes, this was a Wesley episode. Oh, man.
You know, based on the... Like, listen, in later seasons, Wesley becomes less and less annoying.
Yes.
But based on season one...
That's when
one,
he leaves.
No, see... I feel Wesley gets a lot of undue hate.
I like Wesley just fine. I was kind of sad when he got shafted out of those movies. Or at least in that last movie where he was like, I'm here, but I'm only in the background.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't bring him on board, but... yeah, he does get better, but season one, Wesley is just horrible. Just fucking horrible.
So, I thought it was boring and a slog. You enjoyed everything except for the Traveler.
Right. Like, liked
the
small
main
bits.
Premise of the episode.
Yeah, no, but I liked the bit of them, like, traveling to different galaxies and how many years it would take them to get back and how many years it would take them to send the message. And, you know, they're like, okay, let's go home. And they go even fucking farther. I mean, they kind of wasted some opportunities to show us some cool shit, unfortunately. You know, like.
Well, because they needed a true science vessel to come out and do the exploration.
Well, yeah, I understand that too. And I was a little, I didn't fully understand what was wrong with the Traveler at this point. Like, I understand he was going to die, so that's why they needed to move quickly and not do other shit. But, you know, show me something. Show me, like, a space whale go by or something and be like, oh, my God, you know, that's amazing. Did you record that? Okay. You know,
oh, my
like
God,
that.
Did you see that?
I'm sorry, sir. The camera was off.
A lens cap was on.
You know, but the other, you know, but then again, anytime the Traveler spoke, I wanted to slit my own throat. I felt uncomfortable when he was talking. I didn't like his big hands. I didn't like that he was bald. I didn't like anything about that dude.
The ladies do, though.
Yeah, he's a weirdo.
he's given the shocker all day long.
I think that guy can only do the shocker.
That's what I'm saying.
With his three large fingers.
So, go ahead.
And I just didn't like his interactions with Wesley. It was just way too fucking creepy.
You mean when he longingly gazed at Wesley during the first test, which is what caused the fuck-up to begin with because he wasn't watching what he was doing?
Yeah. That was weird.
When he just turns around and looks over his shoulder at Wesley like, hey.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing that caused them to overshoot three galaxies?
It seems to be. Because the Traveler had a hard-on for Wesley.
I really think he did. He probably had probably had his hands down his pants.
Oh, God, his giant claws. So, Kaczynski is a blowhard who thinks that he's making the ship go fast. And there, that scene when they're getting ready for the first test, he is talking in the background for 5 minutes about how awesome he is,
right?
And how everyone has a small brain and can't understand or fathom the things he's doing. Before they even do the test, they were given all the numbers and whatnot to run through the system. They ran simulations and nothing made fucking sense. And we are also introduced to the chief engineer. He's chief engineer, right?
They specifically say one of our chief engineers.
Okay. Well, yeah, sure, because it's already been like Spinal Tap.
Yeah. Yakamoto not down there, though, this episode.
He's somewhere in there. He's the ghost of engineering. So Lieutenant Commander Argyle, who looks like, Al from Tool Time?
Yeah, I would say that.
Close approximation. And
Argyle's real name, though, the actor, Biff Yeager.
Biff.
You don't want to fuck with a guy named Biff Yeager.
He's a man's man, Biff Yeager. he's a real smartass, this guy. I liked him a lot. I wish that they made more stories with him in them.
Because he shows up again.
Right, but, I mean, not very often.
No.
So when Riker is asking, could what Kaczynski is proposing cause any harm to the ship? Possibly one of the best quoted lines in the show is, how could it? It's nonsense.
Well,
how could it? It's meaningless.
Yeah. What I found odd about all this is that I assumed this was like a Starfleet directive to the captain. Like, look, we're sending this guy over. He's going to improve your engines. Work with him. Right? It's essentially what Kaczynski said. He's like, this has been cleared by Starfleet.
Right.
Why are you giving me such a hard time?
I assume that you're right. That's what it sounded like. But I think they had some concerns because nothing looked like it would do anything.
Right, but why not go to the head of Starfleet and be like, dude, none of this guy's math makes any sense. Have you seen the fucking assistant? He's like a weirdo.
Because that's the same thing that all the other ships have said. And it worked on all the other ships.
Right.
Because came over and he's like, let me guess, you ran the simulation.
Right, but so that's what I'm saying. Like, why are they questioning primitive. It? Like, you know. So, I don't know. Just like the fact that they're just not like, okay, we have to go along with this. They're like, we're going to vet you first,
because
Mr.
they had
Kaczynski.
20 minutes to fill out.
I guess that's true, too. I loved it, too, when Kaczynski loses his shit when they're talking about him. He's like, I'm right here. Don't talk about me in the third person.
Right. Well, that's that same scene where he's like, I don't understand. It couldn't hurt. It's meaningless. So there's also the scene where, okay, so once they try to do the test, then it gets fucked up because the Traveler has a huge hard-on for Wesley.
Well, you're glossing over the fact that, like, so the way this does it, like, everybody surrounds Kaczynski while he does his little, I don't know, input math into the computer to make the machine go fast. I don't know how they justified this logic in this. Like, they're not adding new equipment to the Enterprise. They're just punching in math equations.
Right.
Well, and second of all, Kaczynski's not even doing that. He's just punching in gibberish.
He said, like, oh, my alien friend is going to do it because he could do it much faster.
Right. That's what I want to get to. Like, he's like, my assistant will, because he can do it faster than any human. He can punch my equations. So I don't know what the fuck Kaczynski was touching. Or, I don't know, maybe he's playing solitaire.
Minesweeper.
Yeah. But while this is going on, I don't know, is the Traveler, like, testing Wesley? Or was he really fucking up? It seemed like he was testing him, right? Like, he was making slight alterations to his equation, and Wesley was fixing them for him. And be like, oh, it should be, if you should make this do this and connect to that. And Trav's like,
He was definitely testing him when Wesley was watching what he was doing. And he's like, oh, do you think that any of what Kaczynski proposes here would actually work? And Wesley's like, well, maybe, but maybe if you did this, it would work better. And he starts playing around with the whatever the fuck is on the screen. Who can tell?
Right.
Warp field or whatever. And that's when he's like, oh, yeah, I like this guy.
He got really excited. But he was testing him, right?
Right. I think then he was testing him. But when he turns to look at him
they kick in the experiment, and the ship goes flying 2001 style through space.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was definitely 2001 style.
The Traveler just glances over his shoulder, like, licks his lips, gives a little wink towards Wesley. And, like, the whole ship just goes out of control.
Because Kaczynski just like, what are you doing?
And he's like, oh, I wasn't looking at the young boy.
But then Kaczynski also has this oh shit look on his face. Like, he puts his head in his hands and, like, darts his eyes, like, all over the place. Like, oh.
The jig is up.
Yeah, right. But he's able to recover from that real quick, because he starts claiming that, like, oh, I made a mistake, but it was a glorious mistake. Oh, I typed the fingle-fangle into the doodad the wrong way.
Yeah, because Picard's losing his shit now that they're, you know, three galaxies away. They've traveled, what was it, like 2 million light years or something like that?
2.7 million light years.
And it would take them 300 years to get home.
At maximum warp. And it would take a subspace message 51 years?
Yeah.
Or 51 days. 51 years it had to be. No.
And all I kept thinking was, I go, this awfully sounds like the plot of Voyager.
Well, every time I watch this episode, that's all I could think of. It's like, this was the seed for Voyager. When they were trying to come up with a Star Trek series, you know, after DS9, they're like, what could we do? Well, let's go back and look at some plot lines from Next Generation. And like, oh, what if we shot these assholes three galaxies away, or, you know, three quadrants away?
Right.
That sounds like a good plot, and it would just be watching them all come home like assholes.
Lost in Space meets Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
So as this is going on, Wesley notices that while the Traveler is, I don't know, punching in equations into the computer, he starts to fade and disappear a little bit.
He starts to lovingly grip his computer.
So he's having a space traveler orgasm after watching
this
Wesley.
Whole episode is just a giant allegory for
yeah for Nambla. But Wesley is he's kind of mum on it at first, but he tries to tell Riker. Riker shuts his stupid 12-year-old ass
down. Yeah, I was thinking about keeping track of Wesley shutdowns.
This whole episode is a Wesley shutdown till the end.
So, yeah, so he tries to tell Riker. Riker's like, I'm sure what you have to say is fascinating, but we're kind of concentrating on doing another test or trying to get our asses back home.
Right.
Because they run the second test after Kaczynski's like, oh, I totally did this. I just punched the wrong thing into the wrong doodad, but I could totally reverse it. And that's a whole bunch of horse shit.
Right, and there's a whole bunch about science, and we have a rare opportunity to explore shit. And, you know, Picard's like, oh, it's very tempting. But they don't do anything.
Right. They're like, let's get the fuck home.
Yeah. So they drag the Traveler back to the computer to do it again. And what happens then, Brian?
They shoot a billion light years away. In the wrong direction.
So instead of shooting two galaxies over, they shoot every galaxy over.
And they appear on what we are told is the edge of the universe.
Right, which is just a blue background with white lights shining all around
that
there.
Look like dandelion, like the white dandelions floating through the
air. Yeah. And this is where shit gets really weird.
Yes, because as soon as that, like basically as soon as they land there, a animal appears on the bridge, just out of nowhere. And Worf is like, a Targ? Like, this is the second line that Worf has had in the whole episode.
Yeah, at least at this point, Yar hasn't even had a line up to this point.
Right.
She has a couple looks. But before you move on, I believe this is the first mention of a Targ.
It might be. Does the person who wrote the Targ into the episode get
I hope so.
Reparations from every time a Targ is mentioned?
I don't know. Someone may have to correct me if Targs were ever mentioned in the original series. I don't believe they were ever mentioned in the movies. Maybe there was a Targ in Star Trek III, if that was supposed to be one, on the bridge of the Klingon ship. I don't know, but they never mentioned it by name. So this could be the first time Targ has ever been uttered.
It might have been in the books, too, because there was a lot of books.
It is definitely a pig wearing a rug.
Well, see, I don't think it's a pig, though, is it?
Oh, it was definitely a pig.
I couldn't tell what the hell it was. I think it was if it's a pig, it's like a wild pig or it's not a pig, is it?
Well, it's not a boar. They didn't bring a boar onto this.
No, well, it definitely isn't a boar because it didn't have tusks.
Right. Well, it had fake horns.
I had a fake horn coming out of the top of its head. And yes, it had a rug slung over it, but I couldn't tell if it was. I have right now. What the fuck is this animal? I don't know.
What is even odder about this is like Worf smiling. Yeah. Because this is like the equivalent of a kitty cat, and that's even mentioned.
Right, because Yar asks him that. He's like, sure, this was my pet. Doesn't have a name, though. It's just his pet.
Yes, it's not my pet Targ Spike or something to that nature. Mittens the Targ.
So, yeah, Yar asks if it's the equivalent to a kitty cat, and then shortly thereafter, a kitty cat actually appears on the bridge.
Yeah, the Targ just disappears.
Right, and the kitty cat appears.
And I swear to you, dude, I'd have to go back and check this, but, you know, they actually are – the camera is focused in on the Targ as it disappears, and I'm staring at the fucking carpet.
And he did not take a dump on the carpet.
It looked like he took a piss, though.
There was something on the carpet.
Yeah, the carpet was dirty.
The carpet was dirty, but I didn't think it was that the Targ took a piss on it. I just thought it was because it's a dirty carpet.
All right.
They don't have rug cleaners in the future.
They don't have Roombas on the Enterprise? But yes, get back to the cat, because this leads into one of my favorite things.
Well, first, before the cat gets picked up by Yar, they do a cutaway.
Right.
Picard is getting out of the turbo lift and almost steps out into deep space.
Right. And there's no ship. It's just the door opens up into space.
Right. It's kind of like when Doctor Who, like, if the Doctor tried to just walk out of the TARDIS, he would be in deep space. And that's exactly what this looks like.
Right.
So Picard gets scared shitless, jumps back into the turbo lift. The turbo lift door closes and opens up to the hallway. So obviously they're all seeing weird shit.
Right. Picard, though, doesn't mention this to anybody and just continues to walk like nothing had happened to him.
Right. Doesn't call for security. Nope. Doesn't call to see if anybody else is experiencing anything weird. He's just like, oh, that's fucking weird. So then we go back to see Yar pick up the cat. It's like asking the cat how it got there. Would have been awesome if the cat actually started talking to her. That would have been really awesome. But instead...
Yeah, but it leads into something even better.
But instead we're treated to a memory of Yar... back in her colony, getting chased by what? What, Jared? What's she being chased by?
The rape gangs.
The rape gangs.
And when this scene happened, and it looks like she's in a sewer. She's wearing a Mad Max type outfit.
Yes.
And you can hear people hooting and hollering and making their way over there. I go, oh God, I hope she says rape gangs. I hope she says rape gangs. And she instantly teleports back to, or cut back to the Enterprise, and she's there holding the cat again. And is it, I think it's Geordi?
Yes, it's Geordi.
Yeah, Geordi's like, yo, Tasha, you okay? And she's like, I was back on my planet and the rape gangs were after me. And I was like, yes, she said it.
Yeah. All the rape gangs.
I hope the new Star Trek series focuses on the rape gang planet on CBS. I want to know what's going on a planet full of rape gangs.
With our luck, it would focus on the Traveler and the Traveler.
He has his own rape gang where he goes around and finds 12-year-old boys.
Well, see, I was going to say the Traveler travels through different dimensions in time, and that's how they do their gimmick, where they're like, oh, we're going to focus on different stories from different parts of the...
Oh.
So we're focusing on the Traveler. Or, oh my God, let's focus on Wesley.
That would be awesome. I bet you Will Wheaton would be up for that.
Because, I mean, later on in the series, doesn't Wesley become a Traveler?
Yeah, he does. Well, he goes with the Traveler, and they explore the boundaries of the time and space and thought or whatever.
Wink. Wink.
But he definitely came back. But I would be more interested in seeing a Wesley Crusher future in Starfleet if he ever has one. Yeah, I don't want to see
all
this.
Big and fat and sitting around drinking beer.
Yeah. Well, listen, Will Wheaton has got quite a little following.
Anyway, Wesley Crusher, 2017... Star Trek TV show. Make it happen.
Or one of the seasons.
Yeah.
It's an anthology.
So, rape gangs.
Yeah, so rape gangs. Cut back to Picard, who, you know, just had this experience of falling out of the turbo shaft and doesn't acknowledge it. Now we get to see everybody on the ship's delusions.
Right. There's a dude playing a violin with a whole bunch of other dudes.
Like 18th century orchestra.
Right.
Guys. And I felt that, like, we... stayed on this guy a little too long. Like, well, it was a good 30-second bit of watching him play the violin.
Well, because they had to do the slow pan. They had to do the slow pullout to show everyone else there playing with him.
Yeah, I understand why they did it. It just was too long.
They had to... Dude, this whole episode is about filling time.
I know, but it does pay off in the end. The guy playing the violin, in my opinion.
You mean when they cut back to him and he's
Wait, before you get to
damn
it. Because then it cuts to a woman doing a ballerina act in one of the cargo bays.
Right, and Picard walks by and yells at her.
Yeah, he's like, Ensign, what the hell are you doing? And then she snaps back to reality and she's just sitting there in her uniform. Again, Picard not like, you know, he's like, hey, I almost just fell a turbo lift. This one's dancing in the cargo bay. Everything's fine. I got to get to engineering. Right?
Right, now see... Okay, continue.
It's cut back to the violin guy, right? We get like another 15 seconds of him playing violin with the 18th century orchestra until all of a sudden he snaps back to reality. And he's sitting in a room alone
with a food tray.
With a food tray and some tang. He definitely had some tang on that tray. And the look on his face where he was like, aw.
Oh, my friends are gone.
It's just like looks around. He's like, oh. And I was like, oh, okay, that was worth it.
So then Picard runs into another hallucination, right?
Yeah.
In the middle of the hallway.
Yes.
That he's traveling down. And it's his...
Mama.
Mother? Grandmother?
Yeah, it's his mother. No, I think it was... Well, she seemed a little old for his mother, but...
Right. That's why I wasn't sure if it was his grandmother or mother. He was calling her Mama, but that also could have been his grandma.
Yeah, I mean, if he was like, Granny Picard, I wouldn't have bought it.
Granny Picard sure does have a weird accent.
She was all over the place.
Yeah.
I was trying to pin it down. I'm like, oh, it's Scottish?
It's like Eastern European? French? It's not French. Yeah. It's not French. Whatever it was.
Well, it almost seemed like somebody who was trying to approximate a French accent but just couldn't get it quite right without going too Pepe Le Pew overboard.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought – I had to go back and rewind it because she offers him tea.
Yes.
And I was like, did that bitch say Earl Grey? But she didn't.
No, she just says tea.
Yeah, she's like, it's how you like it, stuff like that. So I thought that might have been the first mention of Earl Grey, but it was not. But we definitely know that Picard is a tea drinker at this point.
Yes. And she starts talking gibberish, kind of like hinting at, like, I don't know, secrets of the universe and some shit. I don't know.
And he's asking her, do you know why we're here? What's the story? Cue in Riker.
Who sees him and is like, Captain, I heard you were on your way to... And he immediately turns around and snaps at Will.
Yeah.
And then turns around.
Not right now, number one.
And then, can't you see I'm busy? And then turns around and Mama's gone. So at this point, I say to you.
Yes.
No one else can see these hallucinations, right?
Well, I would say that was true.
At this point. No one else can see these hallucinations.
Things change later on the episode.
You know where I'm going. That's why I'm shutting you down. Okay, so yeah, Mama's gone. They make their way to the medical bay because...
No. They go to engineering. Picard makes a general red alert.
Yes.
And he says to them, okay, everybody, your thoughts are becoming reality. Get control of yourselves, goddammit.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I wasn't even paying attention that they were in engineering, not the medical bay. I saw Crusher there with the dude in a coma.
Yeah, well, there was two points in that I thought were interesting. One, boy, Argyle got some fucking mouth on him. Because as soon as the captain walks in, he's like, yo, what the fuck's up with this red alert shit?
Well, and then earlier, I also forgot to mention that when Kaczynski was like, oh, I made a mistake and I punched the wrong thing and blah, blah, blah. He's like, this is a huge jump in the way we do things and that the history books are going to change and blah, blah, blah. And he's talking about the speed. He's like, we're going to have to come up with new measurements of how we determine speed.
Yeah.
And Argyle's like, yeah, we could call it the Kaczynski scale. And I'm like,
Kaczynski's like, I like that idea.
But the Argyle has got the mouth on him in this episode. Yeah.
He definitely does. And then the other odd thing I thought was that they were treating the traveler in engineering and not in sick bay.
Right. Well, I just assumed it's because they couldn't move him.
Maybe. I don't know. They never really. I could, because they do eventually go to sick bay. But I was like, maybe they didn't have the set ready. You know, I know they shoot these things out of order, you know, but they eventually go. So I don't know. Maybe they couldn't move him. But eventually they could move him.
Yeah. Well, it was very weird.
Yeah. So this is the point where. Riker comes clean that Wesley was onto what was going on. And Riker or Picard's like, yo, Wesley, you don't fucking mention this shit? And he's like, sir. And then Riker jumps into his defense, which was nice. And he's like, he did try to tell me twice. And I shut the little fucker down. It's my fault.
You mean the boy?
Yeah, the boy. You hear the boy about 15 times this episode.
Yeah.
And and Wesley even cracks. He's like, yo, I have a name. It's Wesley.
We know that, Wesley. Yeah. We just like calling you the boy.
The boy. That was something that the traveler kept saying a lot. Bring me the boy. He has a nice ass. I mean, he's good at math.
Wait, did you just say he has a nice ass? No. Good at math.
He's good at assessing mathematical equations.
Mm,
like, don't stare at my big hands. So we learn here that the traveler is dying from overexerting himself. I'm not exactly sure.
All the blood is rushing to his penis.
Or his hands. Maybe when he gets excited, his hands get bigger.
Oh, God. Gross.
The reason we keep mentioning these hands is because he has these overly large hands, and nothing else on his body is
Well, and they're also like Lobster Boy hands. Like, imagine, okay, so you know when Spock gives the Vulcan live long and prosper,
right,
and he has two sets of fingers apart and then his thumb, so it's basically like if those two sets of fingers were fused together, he'd have three giant fingers. That's what this guy has.
And it just looks weird.
It looks crazy.
And he has no eyebrows either. He just looks like a creepy pederast.
He's also prematurely bald. He's got male pattern baldness.
Yeah, and he talks in this really soft, like, creepy tone. It's just, I mean, I hate everything about him. Everything about him.
It's a good thing he shows up about four more times throughout the series.
Yeah. So they drag his ass back to sick bay. Crusher can't determine what's wrong with him. None of his life signs register on their machines. Picard's all like, you gotta wake this fucker up and get him out of here. This is our only way out of here. To which Wesley's like, he's my friend! And I'm like, didn't you just meet this dude like 2 hours ago?
Well, they obviously had a connection.
Well, they had a connection, all right.
A love connection.
Yeah, so they wake up this fucker. And that's when we get the whole, he's going to try it. He needs the positive thoughts. And then he takes the captain aside and he's like, listen, have you heard of this dude Mozart? He had a great ass too. I mean, he was really good.
Wesley is kind of like the Mozart for propulsion.
So here's my big crux problem with this episode is that I understand what the traveler's saying. Like, he's using thought to propel the ship, right? But why does
he's literally doing be the ball.
Yeah, but why does he need to fuck around with the computers at all, at any sense? I mean, the hardware is the hardware.
I think what it is, honestly, is that it's I don't know the words I want to say. Not a pattern or not a rhythm, but a ritual. It's a ritual because he was doing it on the other ships because that was the gimmick. Like, Kaczynski runs the ship. Kaczynski's doing all this stuff, and he had to make it look like he was actually doing something over there. But honestly, he was just using his thought to propel the ship. But it looked like he was punching shit into the computer.
All right, because the analogy that he made with Mozart, like, I thought he was saying, like, if you give Wesley control of the ship, he can do amazing things with it, like Mozart could do, you know, with an instrument. And to which I was like, well, you can't stretch the limits of the hardware. It could, you know, you could play a violin, the best violinist in the world, but you still can't make it sound like an electric guitar, you know, no matter how good you are. So, I mean, I guess if it is a ritual and that Wesley could just learn to propel, but I don't know. It was weird, but I guess
you're thinking too far into it, man.
I know, and it gets weirder when he shows up again. So I guess the ship really didn't matter because him and Wesley just end up fucking off into space anyway with no ship.
God, we're going to piss off. See ya. Whoop. Like Poochie.
Yeah, exactly.
They Poochie their ass out of there. Whew. So, yeah. So the traveler tells Picard, listen, you got some primo... You get this primo smart kid here, but you can't tell him because then his head will get real big.
And don't tell the mother that I was here.
You do, don't ever tell
Wesley, never tell your mother I was here.
Right. There's a lot of that in here. It's our secret.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't tell anyone. Oh, man. Poor Wesley. So here comes some of the best parts of the show.
What did I miss?
Okay, so... You missed. Oh, okay. So they're going to go and try to run the test again. The traveler is going to attempt to get them back to where they belong.
With the special thoughts of the crew backing him.
No matter if it kills him.
Yes.
So while Picard is on his way to engineering.
Oh, yeah, this part.
There is a crewman in the hallway who is fighting imaginary flames that have come to life because of whatever crazy Nick and Nickadoo the Edge of the Universe does.
Right.
And where previously no one could see your hallucinations, magically Picard could see his.
Mm-hmm.
And tells him, use your thoughts to put out the fire, dummy.
Right.
And that's the whole reason he could see the flames, so he could tell the crewman to put the flames out with his thought.
What I also found more interesting about this was that this crewman was not backed into a corner. He was at a T-junction.
Yes.
And he could have moved left or right.
He could have just went left or right.
Yeah, should have walked away.
Now, maybe the imaginary flames were also on his left and right, and we couldn't see them.
Out of frame. Yeah, I can only assume.
Yes. They were stage left and stage right. So that leads into the commercial break. Coming back from the commercial break is the log entry. To which Picard says, log entry. Any time entry is meaningless.
Right.
That was hysterical. Like, why am I even making a log entry? It's fucking meaningless. I can't even assign a time to it. So they start talking about doing, he's like, we're going to attempt to do the test again. The traveler's going to attempt to get us back. So then Picard makes an announcement, through a shipwide announcement. The Tinkerbell announcement.
Right.
Make the traveler, put the traveler in your thoughts. Good thoughts only for the traveler. He needs them to propel us through time and space and whatever. And while he's making this shipwide announcement, we see.
Oh, this crew is the members, star. This is the star of the show.
Crew members walking around in the ship. And one of them happens to be a young man. In the Star Trek singlet we've talked about many times, the jumper.
No, he's wearing a male skirt.
The male skirt jumper thing. And it's none other than John Cho.
Okay, it's not really John Cho.
John Cho.
No way is that. John Cho had to have been 15 years old when this came
out. That is motherfucking John Cho.
Did you look this up on IMDb?
I think I have in the past. I did not look it up specifically for this episode, but I am telling you dollars. Now, granted, last time we met and we talked about the Ferengis, I misattributed one of the Ferengis as being Daryl or Larry, right, from Bob from the Newhart show, but it was actually another dude who was in the Conan movies, like you said. They are not the same person.
Okay, they look alike and sound alike.
Right. This,
okay,
is
John
100%
Cho. John Cho was born in 1972.
Okay, which would have made him 16, like you said.
15 or 16, right? Well, let me look at his credits. Go back to 1987. No, it's not John Cho.
Oh, he says that. Oh, no, I need to know who this guy is because that looks like fucking John Cho.
Trust me. I had to double take when I looked at it. Because I was like, holy shit, that looks like John Cho.
Yeah, which I thought would have been great since he's Sulu.
Yeah.
And
now,
like,
unfortunately, there's no information on here.
Oh, man. I 100% believe that was John Cho.
Well, let me do some investigating here. I mean, I understand if I type in John Cho, Star Trek, you know.
It's kind of on now, yeah. If you did it maybe 7 years ago, you might have been able to figure it out. There's no credit here for man in singlet.
Yeah.
Damn it. I need to know.
Okay, well, here, I'm going to Memory Alpha, which is like the wiki for...
I'll cut some of this dead space.
Yeah. There's nothing about him being on Next Generation. And I don't think so, because that guy looked like modern-day John Cho, not 15-year-old John Cho.
Man, that guy looks like John Cho. I'm going to have to get a freeze frame of that picture and put it on this episode.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, definitely.
I 100% believed that was John Cho. Anyway.
Damn it. Wait. Oh, no. He was on Flash Forward, which was done with Brandon Braga, who worked on Next Gen.
Yeah. That poor show.
Yeah. Anyway, I love that whoever this man was, this John Cho descendant, maybe John Cho went back in time at one point.
Oh, my God. Like Nick Cage?
Yeah. And starred on this show. But I love that this guy is holding on to the skirt. He ain't letting that fashion trend go.
No, and he just stops and kind of stares up at the disembodied voice coming over the speakers.
Yes. All right, let's move it.
Yeah, we're coming into the home stretch here. So, like, the Tinkerbell speech, everyone gets
every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
Right. The positive thoughts help almost help the traveler get and do what he needs to do. The traveler says, like, well, Lenny Kaczynski at his computer, like I said, it's kind of like a ritual. And Kaczynski is happier than a pig in shit that he's needed at this point.
I know. And then I'm thinking to myself, But we all know Kaczynski was just typing in gibberish. He even said it. He was like, I just thought that I was like a genius and didn't understand it, and I was just punching in random numbers.
Right.
So what the hell did the traveler need him to do? I was hoping they would be like, well, what do you want me to do? He's like, well, just really nothing. It's just I like having you near me.
Right. I like looking at you longingly from across the console. I honestly think it's the ritual piece of it. So So they try and they try, and the traveler is not doing his thing, but then Wesley sees he's struggling. And he gets up and holds the traveler's meaty claw.
Which engorges when Wesley touches it. I mean, well, let's face it.
That's the sensitive part.
Let's face it. His hand looked like three giant dicks.
Yeah. And then the traveler does his nick-a-nick-a-do and phases out of this reality. And they're back exactly where it belonged.
Yeah, he doesn't even get any final words. He's just like, I'm out.
Yeah. Later.
And he's gone.
Right. So then Riker reports to Picard that he phased out of existence, but we're back where we are. And Geordi likens the entire trip to a sleigh ride for some reason. Apparently there are still sleighs.
Yes.
In three centuries from now. And yeah, the end. Picard's like, oh, well, we need to kind of repay Wesley for, you know, helping or trying to help. Let's make him an acting ensign.
Right. And then he sits on the bridge on a little stool next to everybody.
Yep.
End of episode. This episode was really light on Data and really light on Geordi.
And Worf.
And, well, every episode's light on Worf and Yar for the first couple seasons. So that was no big surprise. But, like, with all the Data comedy runner that has been in the past four or five episodes we've watched, I was – really nothing. He added nothing to this show.
He had the comedy bit where he talks about the how sleigh. Long it would take. No, but he also talks about how long the message would take in subspace, and he tries to get it down to like the millisecond, and Picard yells at him.
Right, but it's like he was very stoic, not, you know, not the Data that we've been seeing up to this point.
Because this was a Wesley episode.
No, I got it. I understand Wesley. That. Yeah. But what I found odd about it too is like they hadn't really established Geordi and Data as being the two big brains of the ship yet. Otherwise, you would think they would be absolutely involved in every aspect of this crisis.
Right.
But they weren't. They just sat on the bridge and were like, we're far away, dude. All right, we're going to go play with our Chinese finger cuffs.
There's a shot of them longingly looking at each other during one scene.
I think it was either the third or second attempt.
Yeah.
Or when they got home. I don't know.
No, it was during the second attempt. They kind of just look at each other, and Data just gives a weirdo smile to Geordi.
Yeah. End of episode.
Oh, thank God, too. Oof. This was
I faded off a couple times where I wasn't, especially whenever the traveler was talking, but this was no code of honor. Code of honor
no,
was
No, I
torture.
Understand there's no code of honor, torture. But there's levels between code of honor.
Code of honor is my bar right now with five episodes.
Well, yeah, could this get is worse, not could worse get... than Code of Honor, but it is not, you know, the top episode by any means. It's right in the middle.
I enjoyed this more than the Ferengi episode.
Oh, how can you?
Well, listen, I mean, yes, the Ferengi episode has the best ending. There's no doubt about that.
There's some gold in there, man.
Yeah, but just leading up to it was kind of boring.
Yeah. your human images offend us, or whatever the fuck he said. Shock us. They shock us. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to another rousing episode of The Prime Defective. Remember to check us out at theprimedefective.com, where you can hit us up on the Twitter machine at The Prime Def. We are also on the soon-to-be-named network with all of our other shows that are also on the network. You can check that out at soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com. And make sure to join us next episode, where we cover The Next Generation, Season 1, Episode 6, Lonely Among Us. Where right now, the only thing I can remember about it is that there's two weirdo alien species on the ship together.
Mm-hmm. Trying to catch each other dog catcher style.
Yeah, and I think they're being like shipped off to some kind of like a like UN-style meeting of some sort. I can't remember.
Yeah. No, they both want to join the Federation.
That's it. Yes. So make sure you watch that episode. Tune in next week, and we will give you our thoughts then. Make sure you also go and comment on theprimedefective.com about the episodes, because we'd love to hear your comments and see what you thought. So until next time, Jolon True, Jared.
Jolon True, Brian.
See you in the Jeffries Tubes.
Shut up, Wesley.
Can anything he's proposing damage our system?
How could it? It's meaningless.
Start again.
These are like Casey Kasem takeouts.
I can't do a goddamn death dedication. God damn it. I can't. A goddamn dog death dedication. Leroy Jenkins.